2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read verses 6 through 9. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 through 9. I will read the even verses, and if together we can read the odd verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 through 9. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 9. If you have that, go ahead and stand as we read the Word of God this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 9. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. And Lord, I do thank you for the word of God and how we've learned how we can follow you and how we can fight the good fight and how we can finish the course. But Lord, we've got to have your help to be able to do that. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, please, that you'd meet with every person in this room. Open up their hearts, open up the ears so we can hear the word of God this morning so that our faith can be increased. And Holy Spirit, please, preacher, bless. Fill preacher with the power as he brings a message to us this morning so we can give the honor glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. May be seated.
All right, if you would keep your Bibles open there, 2 Timothy. Title of my message this morning is The Finisher. Now, I know that sounds like some kind of a hitman title or maybe something that you have on the shelf next to the stain. But as the last few Sundays in the month of July, of course, I've asked Brother Hager to sing one patriotic song every service as we've talked mainly about individuals or warriors that have done. Of course, we started with Jonathan and then Phineas. But as we look today, I want to the finisher. You know, we're all going to be known for something. What will we be known for? Now, Mrs. Ruck will probably always be known for chocolate and candy and sweets. I don't know. But what will you be known for? And when I think of Paul, I think of someone who was a finisher, as that was his goal. Of course, we see that. There's those in Scripture in which when we talk about them or you hear their name, they're known for something. In the New Testament, there was two individuals that quit. Two people that were known for quitting. And that was Demas in 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 10. And we see in Acts chapter 15, verse 37-38, that was John Mark. Of course, as we talked a little bit about him on Wednesday night. But it was always Paul's goal to finish. He wanted to finish the course. He wanted to run the race. And here in 2 Timothy, as his life is, he knows is coming to an end. In verse number 6, it says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He knows his life is coming to an end. And he's writing to Timothy and saying, "Here's, I'm come to the end of my life." What a difference we see in the life of Paul at the end of his life and Solomon, the wisest, richest man that's ever lived, that God blessed beyond measure. And you look back at what he said at the end of his life. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. You see a difference. One individual took the wisdom and wealth and abilities that God had given him and used it for himself and followed after strange gods. And the other one used it to press towards the mark. And we see that he was a finisher. He had said in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 24 says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Paul kept pushing forward even when he felt like quitting. When you, and even those that maybe there this morning that have gone through boot camp and you go through those rigorous trainings of joining the military, they're going to push you hard, they're going to push you far, and they're going to try to not only try to get you in shape and try to maybe change someone who maybe ate potato chips and drank soda and sat on the couch playing video games their whole first 18 years of their life, but try to get them into shape. Why? Because they don't want to just ship anyone out to the battlefield that's going to get in there and realize, you know what, this is too hard, I'm just going to quit. They don't want anybody to quit, so they're going to push and they're going to train and they're going to mold and shape into what a soldier needs to be on the battlefield. And so that is what Paul himself said in Philippians 3, 13 and 14. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." As he did not allow his past to overcome or his past to get in the way of him serving Christ. Of course, Paul had a past to overcome, as we talked in Sunday school about overcoming your past. Paul was a persecutor, was a murderer of Christians. And there we see after his conversion is on the road to Damascus, of course, being accepting Christ and trusting in God, became one of those in which he persecuted, became a Christian, lived his life pressing towards the mark, not allowing the things in which were behind him to cloud the things in which God had for him, but he wanted to run the race. He pressed towards the mark for the prize. The prize of the high calling. You know, the prize for a Christian is the day that we get to see Jesus. The prize is going to be the judgment seat of Christ, as our works, the things in which we've done in this life, are going to be tried with fire. And hopefully, if we've followed the teachings of Scripture and we've followed the instructions of the book of Acts and through Romans and through the book of John and through the New Testament, we'll be able to place crowns back at the feet of Jesus. We'll be able to look into our Savior's face and, like Paul, hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I don't know about you, but that's what I want to hear. That's my goal, and that's as Paul says, I'm going for the prize. I'm going for the prize, and that prize is Christ Jesus. Now, there are those that live their life for the prize of going to heaven, but we cannot win salvation. Let me just clarify that this morning. Salvation is by faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's a free gift in which we cannot earn. I'm not saying you can the prize in which you earn at a carnival. Maybe you've won it. We cannot win Christ. We have been given Christ, as Christ gave himself on the cross, as the Bible says. But the gift of God is eternal life. It's a free gift in which we can accept or reject. But to just keep that in mind, as we continue to run this race as Christians, as believers, as our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the prize should be the day that we get to see Jesus. You say, "Well, why do I endure? Why do I put up with the things of this world? Why do we just close up and just conform and be like the rest of the world? Why are we trying to strive so hard and it seems like it's us against the whole world?" Because there's a prize worth fighting for. And that prize is going to be the day that we stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for what we've done in this life, what we've done with this body that Jesus paid for on the cross of Calvary, for the breath in which we've used to speak, every vain word, the Bible says, we're going to give an account to. We need to make it count and press towards that prize. As you look at races throughout history, of course, now there's triathlons, and people race and compete in many different ways. We've got car races, of course; those are the funnest to watch kind of races, because you do it from the sitting position, and even while in participating, you do it from the sitting position. But if you've ever looked at the Olympics and followed where, you know, the Olympics, the Greeks had the race in their Olympic Games that was a little unique from a typical race. Usually we think of a race to be run. It's the fastest, the first person there wins. Well, the winner was not the one who finished first. The winner was the one who finished with his torch still lit. If you've ever tried to walk across the kitchen to the dining room table with a candle, you know, you're celebrating a birthday. Have you ever tried? And now, of course, we've got an air vent right over our island, so that makes it a little tricky. But boy, as soon as you move, those flames want to blow out, don't they? Sometimes you got to protect it as you walk around or as a candle. Maybe when the power goes out during the hurricane season, we all know what that's like, trying to walk around the house with a candle as trying to keep that wind from blowing it out. Can you imagine trying to run a race and finish with a torch? It's not about speed. It's about endurance. It's about enduring and not quitting and continuing on. Paul wanted to finish, but why did he want to finish? Out of everyone in Scripture, you read and you look at their life and you say, well, all the reasons or excuses of why that individual should have quit, we would all say, well, that explains it. But if you look at Paul's life, he did not have an easy ministry. He did not have an easy life in which the race he was given to run. Scriptures do tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 23, it says, "And they, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in laborers more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. And night and a day have I been in the deep, out in the ocean, sea." In verse 26, "In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watchings often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, and the care of all the churches. Who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is offended? Am I burned not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities." You see, Paul had in this Christian life, if Christians were going to quit on God, Paul had the cherry on the icing. He would have had the reason. I look around this auditorium, we have, all of us have heartaches. But I don't know anybody that's been shipwrecked and been out in the deep for a day and a night. No one's been beaten with rods, been beaten with stripes, minus one, 39 times, been stoned. But Paul endured. And we find someone who said, "I want to run my course. I want to finish the race. I don't want to quit. I want to run for the prize." And we find and know that Paul was a finisher. But why was he a finisher? What was it that he's looking through this? As you understand, it wasn't about Paul. It was never about Paul. As you see here, he's saying, "I speak as a fool." Paul's not telling all those things, saying, "Look at all the things I did, how strong how I am, look at how great I am." He's saying, "Here, I'm going to tell you what I've endured, but I just want you to know, I'm the fool." Because it was Paul that understood, it's not about Paul, it's about the Lord in Paul, as we read earlier in Sunday school, Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Paul finished because he looked for the Lord's return. Say, how could Paul endure that and continue on? Because Paul wasn't looking at Paul's condition. He wasn't looking at what Paul had to face tomorrow. No, he was looking for the Lord's return. In 1 Timothy, let's look chapter, or 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8. Let's look at verse number 8 again. It says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. You see, Paul was able to endure. Paul was able to keep on fighting and not quit and not give up on God. When we look at Christianity today, we see Christianity. People are so easy and so quick to give up on God. They're so quick to give up on church because someone, you know, I love this statement that Bob Jones Sr. had made about character, what it takes to stop you. How you judge a character of a man is what it takes to stop him. But sometimes all it takes to stop a Christian is just someone not to shake their hand. Or to someone to just say something offensive to them. Or they sat in their pew. Or to take their lid. Sorry, Miss B, I had to go there. I don't know what it is. Or maybe, you know, the preacher, he didn't come and shake my hand. Trust me, if I don't shake someone's hand, it's just because of distraction. Never do it intentionally. But people, they get offensive over the smallest things, and they'll quit on church. And I mean, it's not about that. Ultimately, it goes down a whole lot deeper. They were already ready to quit on God. And we live in a day and age where we're so quick and eager and ready to quit. When the game's not going our way, we're just going to quit, take our ball, and go home. You know, when college or high school's not going our way, well, we just drop out and quit right there. Boy, when life gets too up, I was in Burlington Coat Factory over at the Seminole Town Square Mall not too long ago. I don't even remember. Yes, my wife and I went on a hike for some reason. I don't know why. We ran and walked in the mud and the rain because it started pouring on us. 8 mile hike. What were we thinking? But ended up walking over 8 miles that day. We went into Burlington I know why. Kaylin had gotten her ears pierced a couple days before and they had forgotten a bag. So we went there to pick it up and Burlington's there. I'm like, well, let's go and see what they got for shoes and ties. And so we were in there and waiting there for quite a while and a clerk to come in and help us ring out because, of course, you got to stand 6 feet apart. So the line, you know, is getting longer and longer. And I finally get up there and I hear the two clerks talking about one of their coworkers. I guess she got mad and she said, I'm leaving. She just walked out and quit. And I'm thinking, oh, we live in such a day and age where even our jobs aren't going our way. Well, I'm just going to quit. Because we're so eager to just give up on things when it's too tough, when it gets too hard, that we live in a society that says, well, if I just quit this, someone else will come and fill my place. Or if I just quit my ministry, someone else will do it. Because we're so eager and quitting is a part of our life. But I'm glad that Paul has decided, you know what, all of these things that I've endured, all of these things that I've gone through, I'm not going to finish. And he got through all of those trials because he wasn't keeping his eyes on the problems around him. He was keeping his eyes on the return of the Lord. Paul kept his eye on Christ appearing. You know, if we'd live every moment of every day like we're supposed to keep our eyes on the fact that Christ is coming back, the problems of this world, the problems you'll face today, the problems you'll face tomorrow won't seem so big. They won't seem like those mountains will get a little bit smaller into a little hill saying, oh, I can jump over that. I can handle that. When we understand this, we keep our eye on the finish line. When you learn to drive, some of you young people here, and to be that age to drive and get your driver's license, scary as that might be. Did I see someone taking their test online or on a computer? I believe, was that the Polyzopolises? Nathaniel was taking his lesson. I'm thinking, oh, we are in for it. As they're going to, I remember going back when my mom taught me to drive. And I'd get in the car and she'd say, don't look at the road right in front of you. Don't look at the because that's the tendency. To look where you're going, right? When you walk, you look down. That's when you run into stuff. they say you got to look at the horizon. You got to look at the end of the road. Even in anything that you're doing, even I've watched some paramotor videos of some guys flying around with a big fan on their back and a parachute. They'll say, if you look at something, you have a tendency, even though it's right there in front of you, to run into it. I'm thinking, how could that be? You know, you've got the whole sky, but yet you'll find yourself focusing on something. You'll tend, just naturally, you'll tend to go towards it. Paul, he kept his eye on the, he kept it on the horizon. He didn't keep it on what was around him. All the problems that, oh, woe is me. Boy, I'm in the ocean. I'm in the water. I'm going to die. No, he kept his eye up on Christ appearing. You know, stories told of Bob Rotella, who was a sports psychologist, and he had counseled many different golfers, professional golfers, and of his Ten Commandment little book he made up, commandment number 7 was, all of what the golfers he had told them, was you want to keep your eye on the ball of where you want to go before you make a shot. So, kind of like Babe Ruth, you know, you point to where it's going to go. That was his commandment. You look at where you want the ball to go before you take the shot. The reason is the more your mind is consumed with that target, and that target is all you think about, the more your instincts and even your subconscious will help you. That you're consumed about that goal and that target. See, Christians are so easy, and as individuals, humans, we're so easy to give up and to quit because there's no target in mind. There's no goal. And we cannot become distracted by this world and its worries. And Paul endured and suffered, but counted it all as a gain because his eye was on his target was on the moment he sees Christ. He also knew that the Lord stood with him. You know, as you look in verse number 17, you'll see that Paul, he recalls Demas. Demas, who would not stand with him, who left. He also recalls in verse number 10, Alexander the coppersmith, who stood against him. So now we have one person who wouldn't stand with him, and one person who stood against him. But yet, Paul said, one thing I know for sure. I don't know what's going to happen with the one who's standing against me, and I don't know what's going to happen if I can't get people to stand with me, but there's one thing I know for sure. In verse 14 and 15, we see, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. As you see in verse 16, it says, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. You know, it may be that everyone around you deserts you. It may be that everyone else around you quits. But you've got to understand one thing. The Lord does not quit on us. We can stand with God. And Paul said, oh, I know that if nothing else, if ever the world stands against me or no one stands with me, I'll know the Lord will be with me. He was able to continue on. History will tell us, of course, not that long ago, maybe you watched it on live television, but back in 1988, Derek Redmond, who was training as an Olympian for the 400-meter dash, ended up just moments before the race tearing a tendon. And he had an injury, and so due to that, he tore his hamstring caused him to be disqualified or drop out of the race. Of course, you don't get a chance at it till another 4 years later. Well, during those 4 years, he had 8 operations to correct his hamstring. And he had qualified, and their team was the best time, and he was representing Great Britain and Barcelona. In 1992, he's gearing up for the 400-meter race. Of course, statistically, the fastest time, boy, he's thinking, boy, the odds are in his favor. And he's still in great health after all those surgeries. But with only 150 meters into the race and running great. And I think, of course, in his positioning, it looked like he was behind, but keeping up and slowly closing the gap. But 150 meters into it, he starts hobbling and then falls to the ground. And of course, he knows at that moment, it's over. The chance of winning the gold, it's gone. And while he's there on the ground, he gets back up with a torn hamstring, hobbles on his tippy toe, going so slow, but he's going to finish the race. As he rounds the next corner, somehow his father runs through the security and goes over and grabs him, and they walk. And as the others try to come out, they turn him away. As he's walking, hobbling to finish his race, he started a race. Now, had he stopped right there and had the paramedics come out and carry him away, we wouldn't be talking about him today. Had he just said, you know what, I'm hurt, we would all understand, you don't have to finish. Had he won, we probably wouldn't be talking about him today. But he had gone through adversity, and he decided not to quit. There's no reason he had to go and finish. He, of course, he lost. He came in last place. But he wasn't going to quit. And we're talking about him today because of his decision. And that's, as you understand, like the Apostle Paul had the promise of God that he will stand with us in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. As scriptures tell us Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he doth go with thee, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Psalms 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Understanding that as we look through the unknown certainties of this day and say, oh, I just don't know, as someone will use this virus to quit on church and to quit on God, but they don't quit going to Walmart, they don't quit grocery shopping, they don't quit going to work. It's just an excuse because they already had it in their heart to become a quitter. But Paul had decided long ago down in his heart, if no one comes with me and if everyone stands against me, I know there'll be one person on my side, and that will be the Lord. What will we be known for? You know those that we decorate with medals in our country's service or servicemen? And those that win the Medal of Honor and the Bronze Stars and the Silver Stars and the Purple Hearts, you know, those are the ones that didn't quit. Those are the ones that kept on fighting when things got a little rough. When things got a little sketchy to think, well, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this. They didn't retreat and run. No, they stayed and they fought. As Paul said, I'm going to run. I'm going to run this race. I'm going to run and I'm going to receive that prize no matter what the cost is. No matter how alone in this life I may be. He also believed the Lord would deliver him. Look at verse number 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, Paul looked at his past deliverances when God delivered him from the lion. And then look at deliverance, what he said, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. You know, our faith helps us finish. Our faith and our trust in God, so important, as our faith will move mountains. Many times those mountains of adversity that stand in our way. As Paul knew that his faith important to help him finish. Because without faith, Joshua would have never have seen the walls fall of Jericho. Without faith, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they would have not walked out of that fire. Without faith, David would not have killed Goliath. They would have never seen the victory in their lives. Because life is not about what you can do. Life is not about what I can do. Tomorrow morning, it's not about what you can do in your task. It's about what the Lord can do through you. Because it wasn't about Paul, it was about the Lord in Paul. So many times, I believe we take our focus, and I've been guilty of this myself, saying, and doing things in our own strength, in our own wisdom, our own abilities. And we fail and we say, well, how could that be? Let me tell you, it's not about continuing this life in our strength, because our strength will fail. It's not about in our knowledge or wisdom, because guess what? One day, why did I come in here again? You know how many times I do that? I'll walk into a room for a tool and I get so distracted. Oh, another tool. I've been missing that for a while. And I'll walk out. Or you go to the store for something, but you get a whole cart full of stuff and you come home and you realize you forgot what you went to the store for. And you got to go back again. Let me tell you, your wisdom's going to fail you. And boy, it just seems like it keeps slipping away. I think some of us never had it, but anyway. And I'm speaking of myself in that category. But as we go through life, it's not about our wisdom. It's not about what happens when the money runs out, or the position runs out, or the prestige, or the reputation, when those things fail. Paul was able to endure and to keep on, keeping on, because he kept his eyes on the prize. Let me tell you, in 2020, when we look at the virus, we look at the earthquakes, we look at the fires, we look at the riots, we look at the politician candidates, shake our heads. The reason we can keep on going with a smile, the reason we can keep on keeping on like Paul did, because he kept his eyes on Christ's return. Understand, you know what? Christ could come back today. And I remember as a kid saying, Lord, don't, and the preacher and everybody would say amen. I'd say, Lord, don't come back, not until I graduate and at least know what it's like to live life out of school. Until I know what it's like to be married. Lord, let me tell you, the older we get, boy, the more we're looking and saying, Lord, come back. Because we understand this life has nothing to offer. This world has nothing to offer. All of its joy, all of its pleasure. The Bible says even the pleasure of sin is but a season. As we understand the heartaches that we endure. And let me tell you, the heartaches as a child, that a child endures, nothing to the heartache and stress that an adult deals with. As you understand, all the pressures and all the problems are yours and are real. Boy, understand this isn't forever. This isn't what life is going to be. Well, we get the news from the doctor that it's an incurable disease. Guess what? One day, it is going to be cured. There's no such thing as an incurable disease, because one day, the Bible tells us, if we're saved, we're going to be in a glorified body. Well, praise the Lord, that'll keep you from quitting. When you understand, hey, my eyes are on down here. I'm not looking at the road 10 feet in front of me. I'm looking on the horizon. I'm looking at eternity. I'm looking for Christ to come back. He kept on going. But he also knew the Lord stood with him and the Lord would deliver him. You and I, we've got to understand, as we run this race, in Luke chapter 14, verse 28 and 29, we've got to count the cost. You've got to count the cost. Young people, you're going to serve the Lord, you're going to have to count the cost. You're going to have to decide now, before the race starts, whether you're going to quit or not. Because there's going to come times, there's going to come a moment where the heartache and the trials and the pain is going to come. And you're going to have to endure like Paul did. You're going to have to count the cost. But when you start counting the cost of the pain and suffering of this world, to the pleasure and joy of seeing our Christ, who endured the suffering and heartache of the cross, and being able to see the holes within his hands and the scars upon his brow and the holes within his feet, and understanding, boy, aren't we going to be glad we didn't quit? How about the Christians that look at what Christ did And then with the guilt and shame of knowing, well, I quit under a lot lesser circumstances. I quit because someone was unkind, or I quit because I didn't get my way, or I quit just because it just wasn't fun enough, or it just wasn't what I wanted to do with my life. Let me tell you, all the heartache, everything that we endure in this life will all be worth it. Young people, you count the cost. The life living for God is well worth it. And I love the song, "It Will Be Worth It All When We See Jesus." Oh, what a day that's going to be when we see Him face to face. I wonder how many times Paul had to remind himself as he was swimming in the sea of that day. Or the shipwrecks, or the time he spent in jail and prison. I wonder how many times he reminded himself, "Lord, it's going to be worth it all. Lord, I know everyone else in this world has forsaken me, but I know you haven't." I wonder how many pep talks and times he spent encouraging himself in the Lord as David strengthened himself in the Lord. You got to count the costs. You also got to know that it's God's will. There are going to be times, boy, you're going to want to quit, but if you know it's God's will for your life, you'll continue and keep on. John 4:34 and John 5:36 says, "But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given unto me to finish, though the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father hath sent me." Well, you'll be able to endure more than you think you can endure when knowing that it's God's will. And don't give up on yourself. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 24. Of course, we see, as Paul said, all the things, I don't even count myself dear. My life is not even dear to me. The only thing that's dear is that I finish my course. That I do what God has for me to do. In Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse number 14 and 15, you can't allow anybody to discourage you. "My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to their works, and on the prophetess Nobadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear, so that the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month of Elul and the 5th of the 50th and 2 days." Within 52 days, Nehemiah, there was people that wanted to discourage Nehemiah. But he continued to press on. You can't allow those around you to discourage you, but you got to realize God rewards those who finish. Of course, we see in verse number 7 and 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, as Paul is telling us that appearing, as you look in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 8, says, "Better is the end of the thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit." You know, some people, they never get the opportunity to see how the end is better. So, oh, it's only the beginning that counts. You can have a bad beginning and have a good ending. But yet, you can have, you know, if you're, let me put it in an example to where you'll understand. You ever had a book, boy, you just can't put down, and then you get to the ending, and the ending was just not what you wanted it to be, and you're just like, what a horrible book. Or you're watching a movie, and the movie just had a bad ending, and it's like, oh, never want to watch that again. But you can have a book that has a bad beginning, but boy, if it has a good ending, you got to read it to the end. The ending is what will get you. You're not understanding. Some people, they'll never know that the ending is better because they don't finish. They don't quit. Or they quit. And people don't finish because of different reasons. Well, maybe because probably the greatest one is laziness. Running the race, living for the Lord, working, full-time job and serving the Lord in the ministry on the weekends and helping out the church when they can and tithing and giving and being faithful. And just saying, boy, I'm tired. I need a little time for myself. Boy, laziness will get in. Some people never finish and they quit. Maybe they quit because of a lack of responsibility. Well, it's not my problem. My problem, all that works gets done, or to save the whole world, I can't do all that. The Lord can't expect me to do everything. So maybe a lack of responsibility, we quit on serving the Lord. Or some just don't see the importance. I guess that lady at Burlington Coat Factory didn't see the importance of staying at work. She didn't want to be told to do this or clean the cart. She just, I'm leaving. Walked right out the door. They just don't have a see of the importance of finishing. But when we don't finish, we don't just affect ourselves. We affect everyone around us and everyone who's influenced us. Yes, how we start does count. But so does how we finish. That's what counts the most. See, when Derek Redmond had got up and hobbled along, you know, the whole stadium got on their feet and cheered and clapped more for him hobbling to the finish line than the person who won. As everyone, national television, all over the world, is watching him hobble to the finish line, it's how you finish that counts. I love the little story of the two frogs that fell into the vat of cream. Maybe you've heard this story. One frog, they're swimming around and just thinking, boy, this is pointless. The rim, the bowl is just too high. There's no way we're ever going to be able to get out of here. I'm just going to give up and die. Slipped under the cream. The other frog said, well, that may be. That may be that we're going to die right here because there's no way we can hop out. But I'm not a quitter. And if I'm going to die, I'm going to die knowing that I fought and worked till my last breath. And so that frog kept on kicking, kept on turning, and kept on swimming around, trying to do everything within his power to get into that cream. A couple hours had passed, and his strength is almost gone. He had turned that cream into butter. Finally, he found himself crawling out of that cream and on top and hopping out and singing all the way home. Understand, don't give up. Don't give up because tomorrow you don't know when the finish line is going to be. We don't know when the race will be over. So don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. I'll close with this. A poem in which the unknown author says, when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill. Well, it kind of seems like when my parents were, you know, telling me when they had to go to school. Uphill, 5 miles, both ways. When the funds are low and the debts are high. And you want to smile, but you have to sigh. Or sometimes cry. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must. But don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us seems to sometimes learns, as many a follow turns about when he must have won had he struck it out. Don't give up though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. He had learned too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. And it's when things seem worse that you must not quit. Oh, don't give up. In 1983, the Marine Corps had taken the Latin slogan, always faithful. Semper Fidelis, as their slogan, as their motto, because it reminds every Marine to stay faithful to the mission that's at hand, stay faithful to each other, stay faithful to the Corps, and to stay faithful to their country no matter what, no matter what the cost is. And we live in a day and age where Christians are so eager to quit on God. Young people don't have that desire and to keep on serving because 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, they're out of church. No longer serving the Lord. Because as a child, they decided, I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up on God. Never, God has never given up on me one day. God has never quit on me. God has never failed me. And it's going to be a young person that decides, I'm not going to be a quitter. Maybe you say, well, everyone in my life is a quitter. Everyone that I have has quit on something and or just given up an area. So therefore, I've just got to follow my examples. No, it's a young person that says, you know what? No matter what goes on around me. That's what Paul did. No one else, I can't get people to stand with me. The only people that are standing are the ones against me. But I know I've got one person on my side. The Lord stood with me. That kept him going. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is you're facing. Maybe hard times at work with the virus and things going on. Our world has changed. We must acknowledge that. But it doesn't matter what happens. Don't ever get to the place where you quit running the race in which God has for you. God has brought you through trials and things in the past, and God will continue to do so. That's what Paul's looking at. Seeing all the things God's done, he's got me. He's faithful. And I know he'll deliver me. As we see, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. As we go through this life, don't quit. Don't quit. Be the finisher that Paul was. If we're going to be remembered for something, everyone, we may not be able to say, well, I was first. I was the first one across the finish line. There can only be one winner. You know, in every race, there can only be one gold, one silver, one bronze. As I was watching that race, I looked at the individual that came in fourth by that much, thinking, oh, just by a millisecond, he could have had a medal. You know, not everyone can have a medal. In the sense of, you say, well, I came in first. But you know what? Everyone can finish. Everyone here can finish. So I don't have the talents and the abilities that so-and-so has. Or I've never been able to reach the world like Charles Spurgeon or D.L. Moody. Or I was never a Paul. But you can be a finisher. You can finish the race in which God has for you. That is something everyone can do. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't quit your job just because it gets hard. Don't quit just because you're tired. Don't quit just because life seems unfair. You look at what Paul endured. I believe many Christians would have been out the very first item. But you go through and you look at all that he endured. His strength didn't come from within. It came from above. And let's grow in our faith. And let's let the Lord yield to the Holy Spirit and allow him to strengthen us and to use us. So we'll get to the end of the day and go, wow. You know the joy of going to bed tired, knowing you've accomplished something? And that peace of knowing that you fulfilled something in that day? You can only have that joy and peace of having a hard day's work if you didn't quit. If I've ever quit on something, I've never went home and laid my head on my pillow and said, I'm so proud of what I did. Like, oh, I wish I would have kept going. I wish I would have finished. Now I got to go back and start all over. I got to go back and do it again. No, don't quit. If you're going to be known something, be known as a finisher. Finish the race in which God has for you. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we